KidsMatterTheNumber2.org. KidsMatterTheNumber2.org. And it's an organization through music and arts gives kids avenues to make healthy choices about their life. And at the talent show, one of the young artists was a kid named Seven.
Seven.
If you're a Seinfeld fan, George wanted to name his future child Seven in tribute to Mickey Mantle.
It's a beautiful name for a boy or a girl, especially a girl. Or a boy.
And he was so thrilled about the idea, he told another couple that were expecting their child first, and they stole the Seven name.
We're both big Mickey Mantle fans, and we love the name. It's very unusual.
Parents have to be Seinfeld fans,
yes,
don't they?
Yeah.
They have to be.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Seven.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
611. Not 7-Eleven, 6-Eleven. Nice job, Jake, getting it done. And hi, everybody, Steve. And you probably know who you are. Show number 631 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Texters and phone calls to 312-981-7200. New York primaries on today. Mm-hmm. Trump and Hillary expected to win. However, Kasich may keep Trump below 50%, which would be problematic because then he wouldn't get to keep all the delegates. And on the Democrat side, Bernie making a run. Where's my soup? Bernie's making a run. Bernie went to see the Pope, then he's making a run. You know, we didn't talk about that much, but think about how crazy this campaign has been. And what would normally be a headline-blasting moment is barely a blip, and that being a 74-year-old socialist Jew goes to the Vatican.
How about that?
Why does everything sound like a setup to a joke? A 74-year-old socialist Jew goes to the Vatican and the Pope's there. So there's just no making sense of any of this. But the New York primary is a very big deal, and it's leading all now to the absolute, and we knew this. We knew this last summer. The absolute key moment in 2016. Of course, the Indiana primary. The Indiana primary will now be one of the biggest turning points, table setters, and all the other cliches you want to come up with. You people in Indiana, get ready because you're next, at least next in big moments.
May 3rd.
So at 6:13 on the show this morning, we had a couple of guests scheduled that are going to be coming up later in the week, and they're surprises, and they're such big surprises that I can't even know.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So let me tell you who is actually on the show. Your boyfriend, Eddie Olchek's on later.
Yes.
You guys get a place together yet?
I'm not going to talk about our private life on the air.
David Hochberg will be on the show today, and he could finance it or refinance it.
Why don't you just refer to him as the man who stole your son?
I talked to Ross yesterday. He's enjoying the job.
Is he?
Yeah, he's learning.
Does he miss all of us?
He's learning things that he wouldn't learn from me.
So he doesn't miss all of us?
No, he does.
Yeah, a little bit.
Blues and the Blackhawks tonight, as Dave mentioned. There's a guy in St. Louis on Fox TV there who I worked with on the radio, named Martin Kilcoyne. He does a radio show there as well. He's kind of like the Giangreco of St. Louis. And he's great. He'll be on this morning giving us a little Blues perspective on tonight. And I'm guaranteeing a Hawks win.
When you say the Giangreco of St. Louis, like good-looking sportscaster?
Yeah. Yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does radio and TV.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, jerk like Giangreco.
No, he's a good guy.
Oh, he's great. David Plouffe will be on. David Plouffe got Barack Obama elected in 2008. Since then, he's been basically just rolling around on his money and giggling. But we like Plouffe, and Plouffe's really good at a number of different things, including being a lead guy for Uber. Now, he was sort of running the company at one point, and then I think it's such a time suck to be in charge of all of that. He's kind of chief advisor, amongst other things now.
Yeah. How cool is that, though? When he started, remember he came in here first and he said, we're going to start expanding Uber.
Uh-huh.
And that was when people had just heard of Uber.
Uh-huh.
And now Uber's...
It was just Ube then.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And he's going to talk about, you know, rides now kind of in underserved communities.
Somebody had an experience the other day. I'm the last person, I guess. I've never taken an Uber because, you know, I have a car.
You've never taken an Uber?
No.
Oh, Steve, we got to have you.
You know, you
Uber.
Can still take Uber even if you have your own car.
No, you can't. It's a rule.
So yeah. You've never taken a cab either?
Of course I've taken a cab.
Okay, well, it's the same thing.
We need to get you in an Uber.
Why do I need to take an Uber?
We're going to take a video of you in an Uber.
I don't need an Uber. I have a car.
If you're out having a cocktail, Dave probably can relate to this.
Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, Mary, you've been here 2 weeks and you're piling on.
By the way, it's Sandberg.
Okay. Sandberg.
Yes, Dave. I didn't say it.
So the point of this this whole whatever is that this person I was talking to was taking an Uber from Michigan Avenue and didn't notice that the pickup on the app said Lower Wacker. Now, why would you get picked up on Lower Wacker?
Well, because that's a whole street. You know, if you go underneath, if you take the stairs down below, you're essentially on Lower Wacker.
I'm on Lower Wacker every day.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen a cab down there.
You're kidding.
Oh, I see them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They cabs down whip there. Past you.
I've literally
had a guy almost sideswipe me yesterday.
Since 1999, or however long I've been here for most of the time, except for when I was fired, I've never seen a cab down there.
All right, we're going to get you in an Uber.
But why wouldn't an Uber pick you up here? Anyway, the point of the story is the person missed the Lower Wacker thing. Mm-hmm. Uber couldn't find them. They couldn't find Uber, and Uber charged an extra $5 for missing the ride.
They do that sometimes, which is understandable. Think about it. If you're way over on the west side and you're coming to pick up a fare and the person doesn't show up, it's like when you cancel a hair appointment and they charge you a portion.
See, I wouldn't know about that either.
Okay, forget it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I have questions for Pluff.
You and a video camera in an Uber. That's what we're going to do.
Getting a haircut. Kid of the Week later this hour. And Nick DiGiulio coming up on the Jungle Book. In the Jungle Book movie and how big a deal that is. At 6:17.
Man is forbidden.
The jungle is no longer safe for you.
But this is my home.
Only man can protect you now.
You are a man cub who wants to live in a jungle.
How do you know that?
Kid, I got ears. My ears got ears.
Only I can protect you.
Jungle Book. Huge. I'm sorry. Huge. Nick DiGiulio took his parents to see it this weekend. What'd they think? Were they scared?
We all loved it. You know, and I went in thinking, please. Please don't ruin my childhood. Don't do that to me.
Is this true? It's the first movie you ever saw?
First movie I ever remember seeing in the theater on the big screen was The Jungle Book. The new version here grossed $103 million. Let me just say this. If you've got stock in Disney, congratulations, because this is going to be their year. Not only is Zootopia the highest grossing film of the year so far and still making money and will outgross that stupid Batman movie. But
is that what it's called now? Is it called That Stupid Batman Movie?
Yeah. Or That Stupid Superman Movie. Take your choice. Next on the docket for Disney is Captain America Civil War. So buy your Disney stock now because it's going to be, you know, and they've got a Star Wars movie coming out before the end of the year. So Disney is just running rampant. And this movie, Jungle Book, made, people were estimating that at the top it would make about $70 million. It did $103 million over the weekend.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Huge. It's not bad. It's not a bad weekend. By the way, you mentioned Batman Superman. Did you hear the Clooney story about Batman? Clooney does these two fundraisers for Hillary Clinton this weekend. And raises a ton of money and says it's ridiculous that this kind of money gets raised and has to be raised. There's protests where the limos in the motorcade leading up to wherever they were having this, people are lining the roads and throwing dollar bills at Hillary's car. Seems counterproductive, but I get the message. But they pull up and Clooney gets out of the car and there's protesters outside who got as close as they could and they're yelling at Clooney. So Clooney goes back to talk to them. And, you know, he can't really get a dialogue because the guy's screaming at him. As he turns to walk away, the guy goes, "And you sucked in Batman!" And Clooney stops and he goes, "Well, he's right about that."
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, that movie was better than that. Batman and Robin was better than the new one.
Yeah, Clooney was fine. Keaton was great. Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about who's a better Batman. It's like, is it entertaining? Yeah. Here's $12.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel, too.
All right, but, so you know, love Jungle Book.
I did. I thought it was great. And you know, it was really, really true to the spirit of the original animated movie. And I can't be objective about the original animated movie because it's so tied to my childhood. Like, it could suck. I could go back and watch the old Jungle Book movie from 67, and it could be terrible, but I wouldn't care because it's just one of those movies that is so attached, you know, to my childhood. It's seeing this movie, I felt the same way as a few months ago when the Peanuts movie came out. when I walked into the theater to see the Peanuts movie, I was like, please, please don't ruin my childhood, because the Peanuts characters, Charlie Brown, was a major part of my childhood.
Sure.
And they did a great job with that movie too. And that's out on DVD if people haven't seen it. The Peanuts movie from last year was tremendous, and Jungle Book turned out to be great too. So if you're my age and you were concerned about whether or not they were going to screw this up, they didn't. So
you guys remember the first movie you saw? Because I don't.
Fantasia,
Dave.
Another Disney movie.
I saw.
Dave, you're probably Gone with the Wind. Huh?
I saw the. It was Potemkin, I believe.
Was it a silent film?
Potemkin.
No, it was. What's the one, Nick, where the baby carriage is going down the steps?
That's the Battleship Potemkin.
Yeah, Battleship Potemkin. It was silent.
Wait, now, did you see it during its original run?
It was in the '20s. Oh,
yes. That. Yeah, it had just come out.
Your first movie as a child was something called the Battleship Potemkin.
No, better than a silent movie.
No, I was.
Wait a minute, the Battleship Potemkin is a silent movie.
It is.
Oh,
a
yeah,
silent
you're right,
movie.
It is.
Yeah, no, I saw that. That was part of a film class in college. No, I saw Showboat. Showboat.
Oh, my God.
Showboat. What is that, the musical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like three or four. I don't know.
Parents really needed to get out of the house, I guess. Huh?
There weren't many. I mean, if that's
yeah,
what
so there weren't many.
That's
theaters.
What people went to see back then, Steve.
Yeah. Now let me ask you a question. Do you only see movies that involve boats? What?
Yeah, that's true. The Boat Potemkin and yeah, that's true.
Perfect Storm.
Yeah,
maybe it was Houseboat. It was a musical.
Mary, what did you see? Do you remember?
I think it was Mary Poppins. Was Mary Poppins before The Sound of Music? It was, right?
I don't know.
You know what it was, well, yeah.
Yeah, then it was.
Yeah, well, no, Mary Poppins, no, I think it was after. Sound of Music was
before
the year I was born.
Okay,
that. I was 65, so.
All right, that's the first movie I saw then, Sound of Music.
All right, Sound of Music.
May I correct myself? It was Houseboat, not Showboat.
Houseboat.
Houseboat.
That's better.
What is Houseboat? I don't know what that is.
Is that with Lucille Ball?
1958 with Cary Grant, Sophia Loren. I don't.
So you had the same connection to that Nick did to Jungle Book.
A widower, his three young kids, and a bombshell nanny get to know each other better.
Sounds like the perfect movie for a four-year-old.
Let's take the kid to see that one.
Didn't you see a Disney movie, Dave? I must have seen a Disney movie.
By the way, since you guys asked, yes. Mine was The Deer Hunter.
Oh, yes, Steve. The first movie was The Deer Hunter? By the
I'm
way,
sorry, it was Taxi Driver.
Mary Poppins released the year before The Sound of Music.
All right. Yeah, I think I saw Mary Poppins. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was Mary Poppins. All right, 6:28, and Nick, is it time for you to do another movie anytime soon?
Yeah, May 3rd is going to be. This is the one I'm most excited about that I've ever done. Speaking of movies that really I'm connected to, Risky Business. I'll be hosting a screening of Risky Business on May 3rd, and a truly, truly seminal movie. I saw it when I was 18, between high school, right before college, and that's right in that movie's wheelhouse, and it is as great a film today as it was back then. And I personally think it was compared when it came out to The Graduate. I personally think it's better than The Graduate, and a movie that made a statement about the 80s 2 years in. It was made in 1982, released in 1983, and says more about the capitalism and the greed and what the 80s were about than any other movie. And it was only 3 years in when it was released.
And
a beautiful movie. Yeah,
and it's going to be when again?
May 3rd.
Tickets where?
Tickets are at moviecode.com. Here's the thing, though. It's tentatively on May 3rd. We may change it depending on the second round of the playoffs. So it all depends on if there's a Hawks game that night. We're not going to show it, and we'll move it to another night. But at this point, we're going to pre-sell stuff for May 3rd. But like I said, once the NHL releases the second round dates and stuff,
It's nice of you to be truthful, but that may be the worst plug I've ever heard. So
yeah, I know. I can't, there's nothing I can say about it, man. I'm not going to, first of all, if I plug it and there's a game on May 3rd, no one's going to show up.
Including you.
Including I got Risky Business on Blu-ray, man.
By the way, Nick, if there is, in fact, the movie that night, Nick will recreate the Tom Cruise Tidy Whitey dance in front of the theater. So, that's a reason to show up as well.
I have to do it in front of the theater?
Yeah, out in the parking lot.
Even for people who are there to see Battleship Potemkin?
I'll talk to you later. That's very funny. 6:30, big story. Next, 720 WGN.
Show. The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. If you know a kid that goes above and beyond for any reason, nominate them for Kid of the Week. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest and submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week. We announce the winner every week on the show. And in December, we choose a Kid of the Year, and a $5,000 award will be granted by Ray Chevy in Fox Lake, Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See all the inventory at RayandRaymondDeals.com. Go online to WGNRadio.com/contest to submit your entry. Got a great story this morning to tell. Let me start with Cindy. Cindy, do you say aunt or aunt?
Aunt
Cindy. Hi, Aunt Cindy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for being on. You are the great aunt of Killian, who we'll meet in a second, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so Killian's been fighting some pretty significant health concerns for a while, and while she was in the hospital, Operation Killian got started. Tell me what that is.
Well, while she was in the hospital, she noticed that some of the kids didn't have as many visitors as she did. She comes from a pretty big family network, and that they didn't have stuffed animals. She, you know, brought one with her. People brought her some. And so she looked around and said, Mom, I want to bring every kid here a stuffed animal. So she, with the help of her mom, talked to the hospital, and they figured out what they needed to do and, you know, how she would distribute it. And so then she went out to her family and friends and said, hey, this is what I'm doing. And we all pitched in, and she was able to bring a stuffed animal for every child in the hospital at that time. Yeah.
How great is that? And, you know, what? Who's a better closer than a cute little girl? You know, you're going to turn her down?
Yeah.
Not going to turn her down. Well, I bet you guys are very proud of her. You should be.
We are very proud of her.
I'm going to get her on the phone right now, Cindy. Thanks for the submission. Hold on. And this is Killian. Good morning, Killian.
Good morning.
How do I say your last name?
Gitterly.
Killian Gitterly. You're 9 years old. You just heard your great aunt Cindy, and it's a very sweet story. So in the middle of being sick and dealing with everything you were dealing with, it was nice of you to think of other kids.
Thank you.
So do you have brothers and sisters yourself?
Yes, I have two sisters and one brother.
Did they help with the program with Operation Killian?
Yes, they do.
So they lean on their friends too?
Yes.
You're just a whole family of arm twisters, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you do this every year still?
Yes. We've done it for 3 years so far.
And do you have a goal that you try to hit, or you just get as many as you can?
Our goal for each year is to collect 100 stuffed animals.
Wow. That's very cool. Boy. And you're a little kid in the hospital, man. A stuffed animal is great, right? You know, something to hug, right? Something to hang out with, somebody to talk to. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, Killian, the stuffed animals, too, and they don't have to be the big, 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 big kind. They can be the little ones, the medium-sized one, right? They could be all different sizes?
Anything.
So, Killian, how old are you now?
I'm 11 now.
And what do you want to be when you grow up?
I'd like to be a neurosurgeon.
A neurosurgeon. You know, I wanted that, too, and it didn't work out the same way for me. I turned out to be a talk show host. So if I need neurosurgery, I may have to come to you. I hope that's clear.
Yes.
You'll be able to take me? Okay. And what do you love about school?
I like social studies and math and science.
Oh, you're going to be... Listen, neurosurgery, you better like math and science, especially that science part. Who's your best friend?
Julianne and Anna.
What do you guys like to do when you hang out?
Play basketball.
Really? Oh. Are you pretty good?
Yeah.
Are you a shooter?
Shooter and point guard.
Nice. Dish the basketball. You know, we have a story this morning, Killian. You know who Michael Jordan is, right?
Yes.
Michael Jordan used to sing when he was playing to drive the other players nuts.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. May want to have it in your repertoire. Are you a Blackhawks fan as well? All right, how about we start here? I'm going to give you a $100 gift card for the Blackhawk store with locations in Chicago, Oak Brook, Old Orchard, the United Center. You can go out and spend $100 on you.
Thank you.
It's nice, right? That's a Blackhawk swag. That's courtesy of Village of Bedford Park. Helping you gear up for the playoffs with new Blackhawk swag. Think about relocating your business for success. Not yours, Killian. You should probably keep your business where it is. We'll also give you an app gift card, ABT Apt Electronics. You can go get yourself a new pair of headphones or something. New pair of earbuds. And those people are great. Do you like pizza?
Yes.
Well, this is your lucky day. We have pizza. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. And for Aunt Cindy, we'll give her a ChevyDriveChicago.com, a WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee from your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. So for kids out there who haven't had a chance to help like you, what's your message to them? Yep. Did we
do anything you could to help others, no matter how hard it is?
Well, that's very nice. Who was giggling in the background there?
My mom.
Tell mom that, you know, that you and I are talking and to back off. No, don't say that to her. Give her a hug. Give her a hug. You got a great family, Killian. God bless you, and thanks for being on.
Thank you.
All right, don't go far. Don't hang up. She bought a book, man. By the book.
She's serious? She's going to be a neurosurgeon.
Right. Neurosurgeons don't have a lot of time to goof around with me.
You know, at one point I told my dad I wanted
yes,
to be.
Yes, no, yes, maybe.
Did you even know what a neurosurgeon was when you
yes,
were growing up?
Yes, it's people that do surgery on neuro stuff.
Yeah.
When I was younger, at one point I told my dad I wanted to be a radiologist.
Uh-huh.
And to this day, well, before he passed away, he said, well, at least you got the radio part right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The gist part will come later. Right. You don't have to focus on the gist now.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Now you listen to me. Maybe you could all use some advice from someone who's in a position to give it.
See what you did, Amy?
You think we have nothing to offer? We've been married 46 years. We've seen the lows and we've seen the highs.
What day was the high?
From Everybody Loves Raymond, Doris Roberts. Somebody told me last night was on St. Elsewhere. You remember that?
I do remember St. Elsewhere. That was a great show, the medical show.
I don't
show.
Remember her character, though.
Didn't she like an administrator? I'm going to look it up. She was awesome, though.
Ray's been off probably close to 10 years now, isn't it?
What a great show that was.
She was on 10 years. So point being, Doris Roberts finally made it when she was about 70, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too late for any of us. I loved her, but Dean had a special relationship with her. Let's be honest. Old lady stars love Dean.
Oh, yeah.
Love Dean.
Betty White.
Betty Doris White and Roberts. Doris Roberts used to fight over Dean. So Dean will have more on this, I'm sure, later, and some personal thoughts as well. And a few times that she was interviewed on this show and that I ran across, couldn't be a sweeter lady.
Oh, a delight.
Yeah, and very funny. Very, very funny. Doris Roberts died yesterday at 90 years old, or as I like to call it, a pretty good run. All right, I mentioned Michael. Do we have that? The Jordan piece, Jake? Yeah, tell me when you're ready. Michael Jordan news from yesterday. No, he's not being sued by a grocery store, or he's not suing them, or they're not suing him. In this case, somebody revealed that Michael wasn't just a championship trash talker. He also used to sing while he played. Yeah, no.
Really?
I had some pretty good seats. You know, I mean, I remember, I used to go to a lot of Bulls epic era games, and I don't remember him singing, but he would sing. Do you have any idea who he'd sing?
Oh, gosh, no.
You might have said 90s.
90s.
Salt and Pepper.
Oh, no, it wasn't Salt and Pepper. What, Push It?
Push It real good.
I guess when he's bringing a ball up court, he could have said that possibly.
Ace of Base?
It is not Ace of Base, and no one sings Ace of Base.
Prince.
Prince would sort of make sense, I suppose, but no, not Prince. No. Sheryl Crow, was that your guest, Dave? No, not Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow, yeah.
No. No, this is what Michael Jordan sang to opponents when he was draining it from all over the court. Roll it. Remember this? Getting smoother than this. Anita Baker. And he'd do the dance, too.
There's something I can give in exchange for everything you give to me.
And he actually would. He'd sing the whole song.
Read my mind, you make me
just fine when I think my peace of mind is out of reach.
I loved Anita Baker.
I can't imagine him singing this stuff.
Where do you get to the hook? The hook's coming.
And you bear the weight of all that has to be.
Picture your Patrick Ewing, your the Detroit Pistons, your Reggie Miller, your anybody in the league. And Michael Jordan's just draining everything on you. And then Michael said, and you know when this happened, when guys are waiting for a free throw or there's a TV timeout, they're bent over holding their shorts, right? They're just bent over, they're holding the edge of their shorts. They're up close, right? And he's singing, giving you the best that I got.
I think he hit the high notes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, the weird part is he bring Luke Longley in to hit the high notes because nobody really knew what Luke did a lot of the time. It's 6:57. We got to play the Rex Ryan later, too. Rex Ryan introducing Donald Trump. We got some sports sound for you as well. Later on in the 7 o'clock hour, David Plouffe will be here. He is one of the bosses at Uber. And if you have anything you ever wondered about Uber, we might be able to get an answer for you. If you want to text your Uber thoughts into 312-981-7200. And we're back after this.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Don't be surprised if John Kasich pops a number today in New York that's surprisingly high. Ooh, yeah. Chuck Todd's doing a Today Show this morning. Just looking at a monitor. Candidate dislike numbers. Trump, 70%. Ted Cruz, 61%. Hillary, 58%. How about a Kasich-Bernie ticket? yikes. All right, let's waste some time here for a second. Mary, you and I are both Castle fans, the Monday night ABC show.
I didn't watch it last night, so don't say anything.
Did you see the news about Castle?
No.
Stana Katic from Aurora got fired. She's off the show. No more. This is her final season.
Kate?
Yeah.
Beckett?
Yeah.
She's the main person in the show.
Yeah,
she
and Castle.
Well, there goes the show.
So that show's over.
Yeah.
So she and the woman who plays a coroner, who's great, she's been on the show before.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of her name.
I can't either.
But she's off the show as well.
So wait, they quit or they got canned?
Money issues.
Oh, couldn't come up with it.
Yeah,
okay,
money
then.
Issues.
I know how
it's
you guys
over.
Feel because when Will got killed off The Good Wife,
yeah, was the main character.
No, we're talking about
Back
Castle.
To Castle.
We're talking about Castle. We're talking
really
about a
good show. Well, weren't they going to do two different endings for it?
They are doing a separate ending. They could end the series or end the season.
Oh, boy.
So, Castle may literally get killed off. I mean, Beckett may literally get killed off. So, on that happy note, you know, every day we get a ton of lists. This is a list-generated society now. And I believe we have a new category of list. It would be the stupid list. So, here's today's stupid list. Give me a little music for this. Yeah.
Can I get some nasty bass?
The 100 sexiest male names.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about a girl who's late.
Ranked by sexiness. Hey, ladies. My eyes are up here.
Oh, yeah.
The 100 sexiest male names ranked by sexiness. Number 100, Lenny.
Yeah, Lenny.
Lenny. Although we had a neighbor named Lenny who was nice looking.
I like Squiggy myself.
Number 99 is Carl. Number 98 is Marvin, followed by Arthur, Larry, Earl, Chad, and Todd. Todd comes in at 93.
Oh.
Number 92 is Monty.
Monty.
Hello, Monty.
Who was the guy on the talk? Was it Monty Rock III? Remember, he was on all the talk shows?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what he was, but he was
a musician.
He's an actor or a musician?
Yeah, a fake musician.
Yeah. It's Monty Hall.
The funny thing about
Monty
some
Hall.
Of these names, though, is if you're not on this list, I hope you're not sensitive. Because these don't work. Ferguson at 91. I've never known anyone named Ferguson.
Fergie Jenkins.
Bob Ferguson.
Oh, yeah, Fergie.
That would be the only one.
Yeah.
90 is Gary, 89 is Chaz, 88 is Donnie, 87 is Louie, followed by Brad, Martin, Abe, Frederick, Jeffrey, Sam, Carter. This is ridiculous. Number 79 is Steven.
Oh,
79?
What?
Are you kidding me?
Come on.
It's an outrage.
What about derivations of Steven? Steve, Steve-O, Stevie, Stefan. The Stevenator.
Only on 79.
Ah.
78 is Zach, followed by William, George, Blake. Blake's a hot name, isn't it?
I like Blake.
Gregory, Neil, Aaron, Brian, Bryant, Robert, Hunter, Alexander, Torrance, Spencer, Brandon, Daniel, Darren, Mason, and Garrett.
Oh.
Any of these? No?
No, and there's nothing really sexy about Chaz either, just FYI.
59 is Jason, followed by Joshua, David. David, 57.
Okay. All right.
That's Dave. Like 22 spots ahead of me.
Mediocre.
Oh, thanks, Mayor.
Well, not you, Dave, of course.
Notice we haven't gotten Orion yet.
Yeah, that'll be in the top 10.
56 is Andrew, followed by Noah, Nathan, Adrian, Eric, Christian, John at 50, Paul at 49. How is Paul sexier than Steve?
Oh, Paul's kind of sexy.
Sexier than Steve?
No, of course not.
John was, what was it? John was 60. Paul was 59.
What are you doing? Let me go backwards. That would be helpful.
Doing the
Where's
apostles?
George?
We haven't gotten all the Beatles in. 48 is Byron. I know when I think sexy, I think Byron.
I know a Byron. He is sexy.
47 is Tim. Tim is never sexy.
Tiny Tim?
Oh, I went out with a Tim. He was sexy.
46 is Elijah. 45 is Kevin, followed by Gareth.
Wait, Kevin?
Wait. Is under Dave?
Gareth?
Well, not under Dave. Kevin's ahead of Dave.
Oh, did you say Gareth?
Gareth.
Oh, I never heard of that name for a boy.
Gareth, yeah. Oh, it's real popular. How about Oliver at 43?
It's a British name. Very big in England.
42 is Leo, followed by Caden, Harry, Jordan, Tom, Matthew, Isaac, Ari, I should say.
Like Ari Gold.
Edward at 34, Brett at 33, Tanner at 32. Oh, Tanner. Hello, Tanner. Christopher at 31, Evan, Raphael at 29. Isn't he a turtle?
Raphael.
How can a turtle be 50 spots ahead of me?
Maybe they're thinking like Raphael Palmero.
Ben at 28, Owen at 27.
Owen?
Yeah.
Owen's cool.
Aw, that's my son's middle name, Owen.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. Joseph, Jacob, Michael, Jack, Sean, Ryan, Logan is 20.
Logan.
Oh, hello, Logan.
Logan's big now.
Jared at 19, Lucas at 18, Gabe, Adam, Dean. Dean Richards, 15th sexiest name.
Yeah, Dean is a sexy name.
I wouldn't tell him that, though, today.
Nah, his ego's big enough.
Yeah.
Jesse, Daryl, Ethan, Jackson, and here's your top 10. Jake at 10.
Jake's cool.
Dylan at 9. Aiden at 8. Luke at 7. Dwayne, D-W-A-Y-N-E. Dwayne.
Dwayne?
No, it's because of The Rock. The Rock made that name big.
James at 5, Nicholas at 4, James at 5. You know, DeCastro's going to play that all day. James at 5, Nicholas at 4, Luca at 3, Anthony at 2.
Tony, what's number 1?
Liam.
No way.
You've been listening to a brand new feature on the show called The Stupid List of the Day, the 100 sexiest names for men ranked by sexiness. 719 back after this. You got your Uber thoughts in? Texters 312-981-7200. You got anything you've ever wondered about Uber? We'll try to get them answered in a moment. First, here's Traffic with Mary. Another $100 gift card. Your Chicago Blackhawks stores, locations everywhere, from Chicago to Oakbrook to Old Orchard, the United Center, compliments of the Village of Bedford Park, helping you gear up for the playoffs. The new Blackhawks swag, Village of Bedford Park. Think about relocating your business for success. What did we do yesterday? Caller 88?
Yeah, we did for Patrick Kane.
Yep.
Caller 19 today?
Sure.
And 19 is?
Jonathan Taves.
He's pretty good.
That's what we hear.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Jonathan Taves, caller 19. Caller 19, you win. 19. That's what I'm talking about. David Plouffe will be here in a matter of moments. They're stuck in a little bit of traffic. But Plouffe is with Uber and has been with Uber for a while now. What is his fancy title? I know you gave it to me.
It's director something.
Anyway, it's the third anniversary of UberX, amongst other things. He's doing a press conference in town today.
Uber chief advisor.
Chief advisor to Uber. How's Lyft doing? Has Lyft got a Chicago presence at all?
It does. You know, I see them every now and again at some of the sporting events. They hand out the little, you know, get $10 off your first ride. They're not as big as Uber, but they are around.
Me, I just like to take a Divvy bike everywhere I go.
I think you should take a Divvy bike. They're kind of cool.
What are the vehicles with the airplane sticker in the rear window? Is that
the Boeing?
Is that what it is? I don't know.
No, what do you mean the airplane sticker?
No, it's where you see the Uber sticker, but it's an image of a plane. You ever notice that? I see them all over.
I don't notice anything, apparently.
Apparently not. You do have a car, don't you?
I have a car. I just drive my car.
Okay.
I look out the window occasionally, think about things.
Does it also say my kid is an honor student? That's when your child's an honor student at their school, and they put that in the...
312-981-7200 if you have a Uber thought. Also, if you can tell Dave what the plane sticker in the window means. Right?
Thank you. Yeah.
That's the question. You want to take a break? We'll come back and pick this up after the news since Mr. Plouffe's not with us yet. All right. We'll pick up with David Plouffe from Uber coming up, and we'll also ask him delve into politics. And then he'll smile and say, I can't do that. And then we'll go back to Uber. That's all coming up on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, I'll take it over, but only if this is playing when I get in.
All my friends, the low rider.
I want low riders on my Uber.
The low rider is a little higher.
David Plouffe's here, Senior Vice President at Uber, Chief Advisor. You got any other titles I can throw out? What do they call you at Uber?
Chief Bottle Washer.
Chief Bottle Washer?
You know, well, music curator, so we'll make sure you get your preferred music in your next ride, Steve.
You got some great, great listeners to this show, and I love these ideas. Here's a few new ideas for Uber. Tuber, the number two Uber. You bring two drivers to anybody that's had a little too much to drink and is smart enough to call an Uber. The other driver drives their car home. I'm telling you, write it down. This is great. That's from Jeff. Let's see. I have a question about Uber. Will Will Ford ever do a MacUber movie? Remember MacGruber?
This would
be MacUber. MacUber. These are great. Now, some serious question. Uber as a company, and I know you have a press conference coming up later. We'll talk about that in a second. It's the third anniversary of UberX in Chicago. What is Uber doing to be more green? This is a listener asking.
Well, so here in Chicago, we have something called Uber Pool. Everything's Uber something, right?
Uh-huh.
And Uber Pool is actually an UberX, so like a Toyota Prius or a Ford Fusion. But instead of somebody sitting in the back seat by themselves, you can opt to share the ride. And it's going gangbusters here, China, India. So it's great because it brings the price down. It's about 40% off an UberX. But you're getting carpooling to work for the first time using technology. You know, I'm old enough to remember we started talking about we need carpooling during the first OPEC oil crisis
right.
of 1973.
Sure.
Now it's starting to work. So, and, you know, most of our drivers tend to choose more fuel efficient cars, you know, hybrids. And eventually, you know, we see the Tesla 3 being introduced. You know, eventually you're going to see electric cars with higher capacity batteries, more affordable. So, you know, there's a sort of virtuous circle here, which is let's get more people into fewer cars and let's have those cars be more fuel efficient.
But does it slow the process down at all? Because the brilliance of Uber to me is how many drivers are out there. And, you know, you hit the app for an Uber and it's 3 minutes away. If you want a carpool, you're going to have to wait another couple of minutes because there needs to be somebody else in your zone.
Right, but you choose. So when and listen, we first introduced this in San Francisco about a year and a half ago.
Right.
And it didn't work right for that very reason, right?
Okay.
But now it does. So, you know, it's very complicated from a technological mapping standpoint. But you opt in, so it's your choice. And you're saying,
right.
Yeah, basically I'm willing to wait two or three extra minutes.
Okay.
But, you know, it's got to be someone going in the same direction. So unlike a normal trip, you do have to put your destination in. So that the algorithm knows where you're going, where you are, where you're going. And, you know, when I use it, it's fascinating because there's a social component, too. You meet people from your neighborhood, and it's a great way. We see a lot of people
use it. I try to meet friends and influence people.
Yes.
I want to get the staff in here to ask questions, but I'll ask you a question first. I think there's 6,000 or 7,000 cabs in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I think that number is close. How many Uber drivers? Any idea?
Don't answer.
How many Uber drivers? Anybody on the staff?
How many Uber? I'll say 300.
300.
Oh,
it's a little higher than that. How many Uber drivers, Dave?
7,000.
I will give you $20 for the person that's closest to this. That's an actual $20 bill. And, David, you can't win.
It's very tempting to jump in here.
Yeah, I know, because you know the answer.
And I'd like that $20 bill.
What's your answer?
7,000.
7,000. That's
going
the leader in the
clubhouse.
Mary?
10,000.
10,000? How about you, Sandberg?
11,500.
Congratulations. You've won $20.
Ooh. What?
Jake, you got an answer?
Well, no, I won already.
11,501.
You want to go 12,000 since I already gave you the money?
That's good.
12,000, was that your answer?
Yes.
You're 18,000 short. 30,000 Uber drivers.
30,000 Uber drivers? Are you kidding?
30,000 here in Chicago.
And I am so happy that you can go and pick up now from the airport.
Right.
I was texting Brooke about this, what, a year ago? What's your title, Brooke? Communications director, yeah. And I said, please have Uber at the airports, please. I just, you know, I'm glad they're there.
By the way, Dave, that was the wings on the car, as you said off the air. The wings on the car indicate that that's an authorized vehicle
going
for
to the
airport travel.
Yep.
Right. So 30,000.
30,000.
You know, 66% of those now in Chicago drive less than 10 hours a week. So you have more and more people who have other work just doing this a few hours a week. And, you know, we've got 54% of our drivers here in Chicago from the South and the West Side. 30% now are women, which is great. So, you know, the driver population is starting to look like the city as a whole.
The minimum hours, is there such a thing?
No, and we have a bunch of drivers who will just literally do two or three trips a week. That's it. They're just looking to make a little extra money.
Okay.
We have a lot of people coming around the holidays, interestingly enough, where they might just drive for two or three weeks.
How do you guys pay? Is there an account set up and it's a direct deposit kind of thing?
Right. So it's a payment system, we're actually experimenting now with immediate pay, so not weekly, where people could get paid that day. Which is very attractive to a lot of drivers.
All right, now this comes up all the time with Uber. I like to tip. I believe in the service industry. I think people work hard. They deserve tips. Is it frowned upon or just discouraged?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, it's your personal choice if you decide to do that. But you know, the way it works is, you know, a frictionless system, right, where people never have to get out their wallet. From a driver's standpoint, their safety, not having a lot of cash in the car. And there's an efficiency, which is you just press the button, you get in the car, and the ride's completely efficient using technology. But I think the reason we have 30,000 drivers here in Chicago is people find it to be a flexible way to make additional money. Some people are using it as their sole source of income. Increasingly, it's people augmenting. And I know this from my political life. Even as the economy recovers, there's too many people out there who say, I'm secure in my job, but I don't have enough money.
Right.
And I can't go out and work a set scheduled job to add additional money, like a part-time job. So basically, when you say, I'm just going to turn on my phone in my car whenever I need a little bit of extra money, it's a very empowering thing. And there's really nothing like it in our economy.
How much money are you generating for Chicago? Any idea?
A lot. So, you know, I think between Uber and Lyft.
I'm
going to
need something more specific than
right,
a lot, Mr.
Trump. Right. It's like Trump. I need a lot of delegates, right? I actually need a specific number. So, but I'll give you an example. So here in Chicago, Uber and Lyft, which is our domestic competitor, you know, we give $50 million to the city in fees every year. So you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of economic activity. What we really can't measure, but we hear from restaurants and retail establishments, is it's also helping them because now it's very easy for people to find them. Right, they just press a button.
Right,
they don't have to be next to public transportation or where there's a lot of taxi cabs.
One of the things that comes out of a company that's so super successful this fast is you end up with a lot of cash, and with a lot of cash, you can experiment on things and try different things. Google's gone through this a million times. You throw a lot of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. So, if you could reveal all the secret plans Uber has, that when we come back from traffic, then we'll start with some listener questions and staff questions here in just a second. And you took an Uber pool.
Yes, and it's the best ride experience I've ever had.
Is that where you met Pat?
No, it's not where I met Pat. I met Elijah. He was my Uber poolee, and Sadiq was my driver. And I never laughed so hard in the, like, 8 minutes.
So you had a good time.
Oh, it was the best.
I like that you never laughed so hard. I don't know what show you're working for tomorrow, though.
So let's just end this interview now. I can't top that. I mean,
yeah,
that's
pretty good. That's a pretty good endorsement. More with David Plouffe in just a second. Plus, he'll tell us the exact number of votes Hillary Clinton will get in New York today. So stand by for that on 720 WGN. David Plouffe's here, Senior Vice President, Senior Advisor for Uber, struggling little company. Getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger by the moment. How's Uber Eats these days?
It's excellent. So when I was here last, Uber Eats was actually in the core Uber app, and there was a couple of, let's say, just lunchtime, couple of meals that would come to you in 5 minutes.
Yeah, like two restaurants.
Right. So it turns out, we weren't even sure. Do people need food in 5 minutes? It turns out a lot. Now we've got its own unique app, which does have every day some on-demand meals in sort of climate-controlled containers that come in 5 minutes. But also we have a whole suite of restaurants, local Chicago restaurants, that you can get in 20 or 25 minutes. And it's a great way for restaurants to reach new customers. So it's going gangbusters. But download the new Uber Eats app. It's a separate app, well-curated, great food. I actually have a funny Uber Eats story. So my wife is largely a vegetarian. She will eat bacon occasionally or chicken. Super Bowl, just the four of us hanging out. And she's like, I should have thought about wings. So I go to the Uber app and say, well, lo and behold, there are wings. This is in San Francisco. And in 3 minutes, I had wings. So I was like husband of the day. Which doesn't happen that often. We're delivering wings in 3 minutes.
And an instant gratification society, that kind of works on a lot of levels, doesn't it?
We can argue whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but people want things right away, particularly the younger generation. They want, I know this in politics. If it's hard for people to figure out, like, where to register to vote or where their polling location is, well, you lost them. They're gone.
Right.
So people want stuff right away.
By the way, we're here to talk about Uber, not politics, but you are the guy. And I've not had a chance to publicly congratulate you on skipping this one because I don't know what you knew or when you knew it, but to know to set out 2016 is nothing short of brilliant. Now, here's my prediction. You're coming back in 20.
I am not coming
back. Yes, you are. Yeah,
I will be like a dinosaur in 2020. No, I'm already close now, but I'm very happy to be watching this one from the sidelines.
Yeah,
I don't
great.
Know how to make
heads
blah, blah,
blah. Here's the deal. In 2020, when David Plouffe is back running a campaign, we'll see.
In 2020, we won't be people. It'll be like Watson. It'll be artificial intelligence campaign managers.
Once you have this in your blood, I just don't believe you can get it out. We'll see. Friendly bet,
$20? $20.
I'm out of 20s, but I'll find one for you.
Yeah.
All right. So
by that time, you'll have to pay me in Bitcoin, I guess.
If they're still in business. Questions, Andre.
Okay. This is just my personal opinion. I love Uber because I just love calling, having the car. I don't have to stand on the corner and wave a cab. It comes. It's there in 2-3 minutes. But, obviously as a single female, I'm always concerned about safety. Never had an issue, but I know there's a lot going on. Do you want to just reassure people about the background checks? And the drivers do have to go through a rigorous process before they can become a driver.
Absolutely. So, I think it's important to focus on before, during, and after the ride. So before the ride, there's an ordinance here in Illinois. So the type of criminal background checks and driver background checks that have to be conducted. And obviously we reject applicants who don't pass that. But then what happens on the ride is the big game changer, right? Which is you know who the driver is. Driver knows who you are. There's no anonymity. Every part of the ride is GPS tracked. You're able to share your ETA with friends and family members. No cash. So there's a whole suite. And if something does happen on a ride, we're able to work with law enforcement because there's no mystery to what happened. We know who was in the car, where that car went, was there a deviation. So we're constantly innovating, experimenting. We have a big R&D department on safety, and we'll continue to bring new technology to the service. But I think the core safety regimen is one of the reasons we've grown so fast, is people just feel safe using the product.
One of the things you're going to talk about later are Uber and underserved neighborhoods. A stat I saw this morning was that Uber is up, I believe the number was 3,000% on the south and west sides. Now, I don't know how many drivers or how many rides you started with, so maybe that's 3,000 rides. But what does it mean to underserved neighborhoods? Are you going to be out there?
Absolutely. So, south and west side here in Chicago, it was hard to get around. What's interesting, Harvard had a study recently, a long-term study about the causes of why people stay trapped in poverty. It's fascinating. I didn't realize this. It wasn't necessarily school. It wasn't even a job situation. It was the cost and inaccessibility of transportation. People feel trapped, right?
Sure.
And south and west side, not a lot of cabs around. If you didn't live right near public transportation, hard. So 42% of our rides here in Chicago start or end on south and west side. 54% of our drivers. It's really transformed those communities. And there's also an equality to it, which is you live on the south side, you press a button, a car's there in 3 minutes. Just like if you live on the lakefront.
Sure.
Go out to L.A., press a button in Compton, same thing like you're in Beverly Hills. There's no destination discrimination. And so it's really been transformational. And it's important, yes, it makes it easy for people to go out at night. But it's make it easier for people to get to the L, makes it easier for people to get to work, get to the airport, get home. I know from my political life, when you talk to people about their lives, they generally center on two things. They feel like they don't have enough time and not enough money. And so if you can make transportation more affordable but also give people back some of their time, it makes a big difference in life. They might spend more time with their kids, cook a healthier dinner, exercise. It's huge. And so when you live in a transportation desert, those of us that don't do that, it's hard to imagine how hard it is to do a simple thing, get to work, get to school, get home to see your kids. It's really hard. And so that's where I think one of the most exciting Uber stories globally is what's happening here in Chicago on the South and West Sides.
You're going to be able to control the price point of this? Because it seems to me if you got 30,000 drivers, maybe surge pricing doesn't have to be a surge.
Well, listen, we surge on average. It's never fun. I work for Uber. It's never fun when you see the lightning bolt. I get it. But, you know, the vast majority of our rides don't surge. The average surge, I think, is only about 1.2. So you're not talking about massive numbers. Okay. But the interesting thing about our product is you got Uber Black, which is the more it's an Escalade or a Suburban. People use that for anniversaries or special occasions, all the way down to Uber Pool. So a lot of price points for everyone.
Question. This is a listener question. Not everyone has a credit card. Will you ever take prepaid debit cards? And if not, why?
Well, we take PayPal, and we're working on payment systems all the time. We understand that even with smartphone and credit card penetration in the U.S., we'd like to find ways to bring this to everybody. We are experimenting with cash outside of the U.S. in some markets in Africa, for instance, India. But we do want to make this available to everybody. A lot of people do sign up through PayPal. But at this point with Uber Pool, Uber now is affordable for just about everybody in the city. We're even experimenting in Seattle now with higher capacity. So sort of set routes with vans where you can get in and just for a couple of bucks, get where you need to go. It's a great commuting option for people.
Hey, you know, you can't get a cab in the rain. How do you ever get a cab in Seattle? How do you ever get a ride in Seattle? Doesn't it rain there all the time, nonstop? I've only been a couple of times.
It does. Beautiful city, but it rains a lot. City. But again, Seattle's a city where, like, listen, Chicago. I mean, listen, I got in yesterday. I was at the hotel. I was going to a political event at night. It was easier for me in that.
Yeah,
moment.
You're out of politics, I can tell.
Well, yeah, as a volunteer, but I go out and I hail a cab, right? There's still instances where it's easier to get a cab, right? So if you're in a financial district on Michigan Avenue, but there's most parts of a city where it wasn't even a thought to get a cab. You had to drive your own car.
Right.
And that's where we grow. Our market is not the taxi market. Our market is the personal car use market. And we love for people to maybe even divorce themselves from their cars, but at the very least, use it less frequently.
Speaking of taxis, there are a lot of taxi drivers who have become Uber drivers. The vetting of drivers that we've talked about to some degree, if you take all of the ridiculous and somewhat realistic generalizations about why I didn't like getting into a cab, how do people know that Uber's not going to be overtaken by disgruntled yellow cab drivers who maybe aren't the folks that you want driving your Ubers? And by the way, I'm not naming all of you.
Well, because there's a rating system. So if you're having an unpleasant experience, you let us know, right? You have to rate. So you rate, you know, from
but is there a magic number where if I fall below that number as a driver, I'm done?
Well, we want people to succeed. So if you're struggling, we're going to want to figure out, like, okay, maybe it's just the cleanliness of your car.
Yeah.
Maybe it's you're listening to the radio. Something more severe is you're talking on the phone. We can take action on that. But, yeah, we obviously want to keep quality up. But it's a great two-way system, but it's also not just the driver. If the rider is being belligerent or abusive,
sure,
the driver can let us know. And one of the people who've driven taxis before or limos like that, they felt that only they were on trial, so to speak. And now they've got the ability to say, this rider, you know, was either great or they didn't treat me well. And, you know, occasionally we do deactivate riders as well if they are consistently acting in an inappropriate way.
What do you do about insurance? How does that work?
So here in the regulations, there's insurance requirements, both on the driver's side, and we come in over top with $1 million policy. So every ride is fully insured. And again, most of the regulations in the U.S. have that in law, what the insurance requirements
are. So if I'm in an Uber and the guy has an accident, I'm not liable?
Of course not. No.
Well, of course not. There's
well,
a lot
my
of
point is
the, world.
The driver's got coverage, and then when they're on trip, we come in with a large policy over top of that.
Okay.
And again, that's in the law here in Illinois.
Last one. This is actually one you might have to handle off the air, but somebody said they're looking to drive and somebody at Uber was going to show up to look over their vehicle. Do you actually physically look at a vehicle?
We have vehicle inspections here in Illinois.
All right. This person hasn't gotten a response. So I'll have you guys follow up off the air.
We will follow up right away.
Yeah. Okay. So there. That's one. Look, we're solving problems.
Instantaneous customer service. Yes.
So you're doing a press conference today?
Yeah. We're opening a new facility on the north side. So we do have driver support centers on the south side and other parts of the city. We're opening one up on the north side. And also talk about some of this new data about who's using the platform and how so much of the growth is coming from underserved areas, south and west side in particular.
Hillary versus Trump in November?
Well, definitely Hillary. I think Trump 6 weeks ago, I would have said for sure he controlled his destiny, but he's running he's committing political malpractice every day. So I think it's going to be Trump or Cruz. And that convention, I'm sure, will be great ratings for WGN and CNN and everybody in Cleveland, because it's going to be fascinating.
We're going to be at Cleveland. You want to go with us?
I may be in Cleveland. And if so, I'd love to come by.
Yeah, swing by.
We'll need a ride. We'll get an Uber.
You know anybody?
We can help with that. We're eager to help with that.
Yeah. Great to see you, David. Thanks for coming over. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
8:15, we'll get to a traffic update here in just a second. Dean Richards joins us. I want to save the Doris Roberts thing to give it appropriate time.
Sure.
But condolences. I know she was a friend of yours.
She was. I've gotten to know her pretty well over the years. Interviewed her, I don't know, a million times. Loved coming on the radio. Couldn't have been nicer. We interviewed her on the set of Everybody Loves Raymond. We interviewed her at the radio station, here at the TV station, over the satellite hookups. Over the years, could not be nicer, could not be more down to earth. You know, we obviously love her from Everybody Loves Raymond. So it's, yeah, it's a big, I think it's a big loss.
90, having said that,
90 years old, it's a good run.
Though. Hell of a run. Hell of a run. So let's get rid of the nonsense first here. Kim and Kanye are okay after their copter didn't land.
Nonsense. Nonsense. Kim and Kanye, nonsense?
Yes. Kim and Kanye had an emergency copter landing, or is that the title of his new album?
That would be too logical for a new album title for him. So they're doing one of those helicopter tours. They're in Iceland, you know, doing like a scenic helicopter tour. And the copter started making noise. They didn't know what it was. So that, you know, they have an emergency landing. And Steve, what do you do when you're in an emergency situation like that?
Well, normally you would pull a chute sort of thing. In this case, you just bury yourself in Kim's boobs, and you'll get a soft landing no matter how hard that chopper hits the ground.
For the airbag effect?
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm talking about, yes.
As we like to call them. Naturally, what I would do if I was in a situation like that, I would do what they do, reach for my cell phone and get on Snapchat right away and start posting pictures. Posed pictures in the helicopter while they thought was near death. This may be the funniest part of the whole story. Turned out a seatbelt was hanging outside of the helicopter. When they shut the door, a seatbelt was hanging outside of the helicopter door and was clanging on the outside of the helicopter.
That was the whole problem?
That was the whole problem.
Idiots.
So nice safety check.
Idiots.
Nice safety check.
Joe Manganiello, who I did all the stunt work for in that...
Both
Magic Mike movies.
I know you don't like to brag, but I will for you.
Yeah, I was Manganiello's stuntman.
Yeah.
And then he went off and he married...
Sofia Vergara.
Charo from Modern Family. I like to make sure the entire audience spectrum knows what we're talking about.
Right. We can offend everybody in one story. That's a bonus for us.
But I saw he's in the hospital. What happened to him?
He
honeymoon kill him? What happened to him?
The honeymoon may have caused the problem with his appendix.
It's a good way to die.
So he goes into the hospital for a routine appendix surgery. Turns out that the appendix had already burst.
Hey.
And so they had to do an emergency appendectomy, as we like to call them.
Scary.
In the medical field. He and his abs are recovering right now. And so you may have to do more stunt work for him, what I'm saying, until he's back up on his feet, both on screen and, you know, someone's got to take care of his wife while he's in the hospital.
I will comfort her and provide my legendary Hollywood ass at any given time that is needed.
Coochie coochie.
We have exclusive Mel Brooks news that Dean broke this morning coming up in a second, and more about Doris Roberts. We'll play a clip as well.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
Wintrust Community Bank's Hour continues. Dean sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. What's the Mel Brooks news?
So Mel Brooks is going to be coming to Chicago to do a Q&A.
I love Mel Brooks.
At the Chicago Theater.
I want to host it.
This does not ever happen.
I'll do it for free.
Something like this. I think there's going to be a long line of people who want to host it.
Yeah, but it's me.
But you should do that. That would be fine. It's going to be on June the 12th.
Ooh, that's not great for me. I'll move it.
What are you doing that's more important?
Nothing. Are you kidding me? I would cross the street to shake his hand against traffic and be run down by an Uber.
I talked with him many times. You remember when the producers world premiered here in Chicago. It started here in Chicago before it went to New York.
No, I mean, I've met him and interviewed him, but I haven't talked to him probably in 10 years, and he's not going to be around forever, and I love Mel Brooks, that's all.
He is still sharp. He's still hilarious. Yeah. He's still, you know, just all cylinders are going.
He and Carl Reiner both. Carl Reiner's like 95 now or something.
Do you follow Carl Reiner on Twitter?
He's hilarious.
He is hilarious on Twitter. 90 plus years old.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
On Twitter, number one, but hilarious on Twitter. But anyway, Mel Brooks is going to be. They're going to show a screening on big screen of Blazing Saddles.
It's tremendous.
And let me just say, one thing about Blazing Saddles to conjure the mental picture. Campfire scene. That's all you got to say. Campfire scene among the many hilarious scenes.
One of my favorite scenes in that movie doesn't have Mel Brooks in it. It doesn't have Harvey Korman in it. Doesn't have any of the main players in it. And it's the toll booth in the middle of the desert. There's a toll booth in the middle of the desert. Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert! If you haven't seen Blazing Saddles, it came out in 1972.
Right.
But the horses roll up to the toll booth. And Slim Pickens goes, somebody's got to ride back and get an S-load of dimes. So great.
I was watching some of the clips of this morning, the great Alex Karras.
Oh, yeah.
As Mongo.
Tremendous.
Walks up to a horse, punches the horse in the face.
Right, decks the horse.
The horse goes down.
I don't know how you get the horse to do that stunt.
I have no idea.
That was pretty impressive.
How that happened.
And there's a famous Alex Karras line when he goes, Mongo just a pawn in the game of life. You know who wrote that line?
I don't.
Richard Pryor.
How about that?
Richard Pryor.
How about that?
I know more about Mel Brooks than Mel Brooks does.
Well, they're going to be showing Blazing Saddles on the big screen June 12th.
Ooh, not good for me.
Chicago Theater. Tickets are going to be, they start at $70 a piece, so it's a little pricey, but I think worth it. And tickets are going to go on sale this coming Monday. They haven't even announced this show yet. But
I'll pay for the tickets. I don't pay for anything. I'll pay for those tickets.
You are hearing this first right here.
All right, give me a couple of tickets to that, Dean. Here's my credit card.
I'm going to need to see some identification from you, please.
All right, let me play a clip from your friend Doris Roberts, the great Doris Roberts, Ray Romano's mom. Roll it.
Well, I think, and I have to thank myself for it, the writing is sensational, but it could easily have gone another way. And as you hear my voice, it's a very deep voice, a chest voice. And when I spoke as Marie, it never was that. It was always, are you hungry, dear? And it was always a woman. Everything I did in that 9-year period came from love.
That's what she did. It was all based on that. Maybe one of the greatest characters on television of all time. And I don't think that's an over-exaggeration.
She was far and away the breakout character on that show. Yeah, best thing on that show.
The Marie Barone character, just completely classic. Although she won 4 Emmy Awards for Everybody Loves Raymond and one for a guest appearance on St. Elsewhere. She was a regular on the old Remington Steele, on the old Angie show from the mid-80s. She made guest appearances on shows like All in the Family and Full House, tons of television appearances. 31 movies that she made, including National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. More recently, Tyler Perry's Tyler Perry movie that is
Tyler Perry's Doris Roberts
witness protection program.
Okay,
she was in. So I mean, she's a full television career, a full movie career, but died peacefully in her sleep, according to her son Michael, who I also got to know through the years. Just wonderful people, incredible talent. Left us. An amazing body of work, but
it's been a tough year, dude. A lot of really good people have gone.
Oh my gosh, no kidding. I have I keep saying this over and over again. I mean, this is, it's only April.
Yeah.
And I've never written so many obituaries in my life.
It's going to be the longest in memoriam season for the award shows ever.
Exactly right. But Doris Roberts, 90 years old.
90 years old.
90 years old and a real sweetheart. And could, you know, cut up with the best of them and throw down a few words that might not be used in public.
It's funny you say that because
just a good old girl.
On one of the times I interviewed her in studio was when I was doing the afternoon show here. It had to be 15 years ago. And we're in the middle of a break, and she's sort of staring out on Michigan Avenue, and she goes, "Oh, I heard a great new dirty joke. You want to hear it?" Of course I do, Doris.
It's our girl.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
That's Dean Richards. Let's do this. Quick break. Come back with Andrea and the big story in a moment. And then what's coming up? You're saying, Steve, what's coming up in just a few minutes? That's what you're saying. Martin Kilcoyne from St. Louis on those St. Louis Blues. In a couple of minutes on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
This series is so even. It's really early. It's three games. I know for some people it feels like five or six, but it's three games. And it's we have to be better. We have to get better every game. I think each game has gotten more and more intense, and the animosity and the anger has gotten to a very high level now, and I think it's just going to have to go up for us. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're capable of. Their history says they can go to this level that nobody else can play at. We're probably going to have to find that out, but I know we can go better.
Ken Hitchcock, coach of the Blues. Fine coach, but the Blues may be about to throw them out if they can't get by this first round. So when I was on the air in St. Louis, you remember when I was thrown out of here?
Yes.
Remember in 2010 I got fired, so I left?
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when you get fired. You should leave. So I got fired, so I left.
You're encouraged to do so, aren't you?
Yeah. And I came back in 2013. But anyway, in between, for a couple of years, I did a show for a station in St. Louis called KTRS. Great people. Really nice people. And I got to know Martin Kilcoyne. He's a big shot TV star there who also does a radio show on KTRS every day from 10 to 1. That'd be your AM 550 in the St. Louis area or online. And he's a great guy. He's a great guy. He's a great talent. Marquette product. Nah, he's a little goofy. But I like him. And I think, who's the guy? Who's the guy that can give us some Blues perspective? Well, I mean, it's clear. It's Martin Kilcoyne. Good morning, my friend.
Steve-O, how are you?
I'm doing.
You're kind of like George on Seinfeld. You get fired, but you just coming back.
Yeah, I bounce back, don't I? My at Martin Kilcoyne 2, and by the way, Martin spelled just like it sounds. That's your social media situation. All right, so you and I have been texting back and forth a little bit about this, and both of us seem pessimistic, or should I say, less than optimistic.
You know, first off, thank you for making this call about Blues Hawks. I was concerned we were talking Cards Cubs, so this is a relief right out of the gate.
Well, actually, let me ask you a question about that. What was the deal last night at the New Bush where they played the Hawks goal song?
Weird, and I despise that song almost as much as LC Chord.
Yeah, let me crank this up a little bit so you can hear it. I didn't know if you could hear it.
I don't know if the PA guy, the music guy, lost a bet trying to be funny. We're trying to get to the bottom of that, as they say in the news business, Steve. But you know what's really weird is, and the Blues players have talked about it, that they feel like the Cubs, and they're saying, and not historically, but the modern day Cubs, that hey, we're pretty good, but we haven't proven anything, and that team over there is the proven commodity. So the Blues look at the Blackhawks, I think, in a sense, the way the Cubs look at the Cardinals. Until you prove over the course of time you're better than them, that's kind of the team you're aspiring to be. So it's really a weird time here where Cardinals fans, I think, are a little nervous about the Cubs being good. It feels like the Hawks fans are a little concerned that maybe the Blues are a little better this time.
I thought Jason Hayward handled the going back to St. Louis thing really well when he said, look, if they didn't think I was good, they wouldn't boo me.
Now, I think it was a great answer, and he was great the time that he was here. I mean, I think people, you know, there's that big city, little brother thing for St. Louis and Chicago. So it was a little bit, the one thing we had, well, hey, our baseball team, people want to come here and stay here. And he's one of the few guys who didn't want to stay. And the fact he chose the Cubs, I think, made it sting a little bit more. But he's always been professional, and he's a young guy, wants to live in Chicago, make a bunch of money. I mean, I can't blame him. I mean, the only thing we had going for a while that Chicago didn't was, you know, protests and race riots, and then you guys went and did that too.
You know what? That's a great point. I hadn't considered it. But that's why he is a star at Fox 2 in St. Louis and also on KTRS. All right. Well, I promise we'll talk Blackhawks right after this traffic update. At Martin Kilcoin 2, MartinKilcoyne, and the number 2. He looked for a longer social media name that would actually generate less followers, but he couldn't find one. $8.50 now. Martin Kilcoyne. My friend Martin does sports every night on Channel 2, Fox 2 in St. Louis, and does radio every day. He's on from 10 to noon doing his own show. And then a very well-known St. Louis radio personality named John Carney, whose dad was a big deal at Camo X forever. John Carney, very funny. We just came through this incredible health scare, health miracle. And Martin and I were just talking about this off the air. Our friend Carney essentially had the John Ritter thing, right, where he was going to bleed out?
Yeah, when your aorta explodes, it's pretty serious. And he had, I think he had two miracles. He survived the aorta exploding and then the surgery, which is highly risky but necessary. And he's a, you know, I like to joke around a little bit, Steve, but he is as caustic and sarcastic as they come. So when he came out of this procedure, he lived. It was a miracle. And I said, this is going to be great because he's going to have a new view of life. He's going to be upbeat. And no, cynical right out of the gate.
Well,
maybe even more caustic.
Whatever got you to the middle keeps you there. That's my theory anyway. All right, so let's talk about the Blues and the Blackhawks. The Blues are much more mature than I expected they would be. They are much more together than they've been in previous years. And I think because of that, that makes them much more dangerous. There's no real freak out like there'd been previously when the Hawks started to get a leg up.
Yeah, and I think one thing that they got away with in Game 3 that they're going to be really cognizant of now, they're very concerned about putting the Hawks on the power play. And they don't even want to be 4-on-4 because of the skill set that the Hawks have. So that discipline is going to come into play. I feel the officials have called it pretty tight. And so now you know that, and hopefully it's consistent. And I think that they're going to try and stay out of the box. But they've been building this thing for several years, and every offseason there's the disappointment. So then they kind of tweak. Well, what can we do? What can we change? And if anything, from last year to this year, they tried to add a little bit more, they call it heft in hockey. They have all these great phrases.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy like Troy Brouwer came in instead of TJ Oshie. Oshie was a flashy player. Brouwer's more the guy who's going to get that extra whack on the stick after the play, after the whistle. So they've got skill. They can't match Chicago in terms of skill. I think where they feel they're better is overall depth, just top to bottom.
Well, and the size is a big deal too, but as far as changing and tweaking it year to year, what is this I keep hearing about they're going to get rid of Hitchcock if they don't get by the first round? I know there's been a lot of disappointment, but outside of Q, he's one of the best coaches in the league.
Yeah, it's a couple of things. It's not being able to get through in the postseason and a fan base that's as loyal as any. They keep coming back and they keep wanting to believe this year will be different. But it's three straight first-round exits. All three had the same pattern where they won the first two games, then lost four straight. You know, in hockey, they change these guys like shirts, I mean, left and right. So he's had a long run. But it sounds crazy. You get 100 points, you're in the contention for a division title. I think if they change coaches, it would only be because they just – want to try something new. And he's a guy who can grind on people. He's a little bit like a Tony La Russa, where the players may roll their eyes a little bit, but for the most part, it works. If they lose to the Hawks in this first round, it's a really tough call. What do? Do you stay the same? Because at some point, your fan base says, well, what's different? Why will we be different next year? It may not be fair, but he may be the fall guy.
Who is the most dangerous guy on the Blues for the Blackhawks? Is it Tarasenko?
Oh, without question. And the first game, they won that game, the crazy, you know, goal in overtime. They won that game with Tarasenko only having one shot. And there's a guy who just should be firing it. And if he puts it on net nine times, maybe it's going to go in three times. For most players, it's not the math. So there's no doubt. He's a difference maker. I mean, and in the last couple of years, him emerging as a consistent goal scorer has changed that team because they just didn't have that. I mean, since Brett Hull really been looking for that guy every night, you think might score a goal. He's that guy.
You realize that you're up 2-1 with Kaner doing nothing really dramatic so far.
No, and I think we talked on the radio here yesterday, Bernie Federko, the longtime Blue, who's a Hall of Famer, now analyst, and we kind of said, you're not going to keep Taves and Kane off the board for too long. And he said, I think at some point, whether it's game four or game five, you might see a 5-4 game. You might see a 6-5 game, that at some point there's just too much skill there that it'll open it up a little bit. But the story in St. Louis is about Brian Elliott because
it's ridiculous. The kid's ridiculous.
He was the backup, and he played a few years ago, and then they said, well, we got to do something better. He only played because Yaroslav Halak was hurt. Then they said, let's go get Ryan Miller. He was the flavor there, and then he flames out. Then they said, well, we got Jake Allen. He's the young guy. So Elliott's just been kind of hanging around, and so now, out of injury this season, they turned to him, and he's been really good. But people are, much like Blues fans, they're nervous about everything. They're still nervous about him, wondering, okay, is this the real Brian Elliott? Can he really keep this up? So Blues fans know that it's never over. They've lost plenty of Game 7s around here. So until the Hawks are officially dead, it's not over.
I was going to ask, Martin, do you think there's an expectation in St. Louis, or maybe it's unspoken, that this will come down to a Game 7 next week?
I think most people expect that. And I think the players would tell you, if they were being 100% honest, that this is a 7-game series. You know, could somebody win it in 6? Sure. But I think their anticipation is that, and if you look at the season, even when the Blues beat the Hawks, overtime games, penalty shots, extremely tight. These games we've seen over the last week, extremely close, extremely tight. So it seems like it's going to have a seesaw feel to it. I mean, I'd be glad if it wasn't. If I were betting, I'd bet on 7.
Yeah, I mean, I said 6 with the Hawks winning up front, but now I think it's absolutely 7. Who wins tonight?
I would guess Chicago wins tonight. I can't see them losing 2 straight at
because
all.
It's a better storyline, too. You know, and it's more material for you. You should appreciate that.
And we don't have a football team, so I need something to talk about for a while.
That's ridiculous. Condolences. It's ridiculous. You know, we were talking about that for years.
Well, you know what I got to say? The bad news is they left, the Rams. But worse news would have been if they stayed. It's been a pretty bad run, to be honest with you. We'll start following the Bears and the Chiefs and the Colts.
Yeah, it's just unfair to St. Louis. To have St. Louis lose 2 teams in the manner that both teams left. I mean, Bidwell was a creep when he took the team to Phoenix, and this was equally bad, just different ways.
But they would follow the Bears down there?
The way it went down, there's a lot of bitterness. And so they're totally unrelated. But if the Blues were somehow able to break through 50 years of hockey and finally win the Cup, I think in the city, even the non-hardcore hockey fans, this would mean a little more after Kroenke gave them the shaft. I think they would enjoy it. Even though there'd be a little something extra if they were somehow able to do it this year.
Well, I mean, I think I can speak for Dave on this, and I'll let you go. But, as much as we feel for you and the people of St. Louis, go jump in the lake because we're not giving up the Cup.
I love the Chicago-St. Louis rivalry, Steve. If this keeps up, we're going to model ourselves. We're already modeling ourselves after the Hawks. If this keeps up, we're going to stop paying our state employees.
I hope you appreciate it. You got the last laugh. I'll talk to you later.
See you, buddy.
At Martin Kilcoin 2. Again, make a note of his social media site. MartinKilcoyne, the number 2. The P is silent. Take a break. We'll come back and get to the news top of the hour coming up after 9. Orion Samuelson, Eddie Olczyk, and David Hochberg, that other hockey legend. He'll be on here as well as we continue on 720 WGN. KidsMatterTheNumber2.org. KidsMatterTheNumber2.org. And it's an organization through music and arts gives kids avenues to make healthy choices about their life. And at the talent show, one of the young artists was a kid named 7.
7.
If you're a Seinfeld fan, George wanted to name his future child 7 in tribute to Mickey Mantle.
It's a beautiful name for a boy or a girl, especially a girl or a boy.
And he was so thrilled about the idea, he told another couple that were expecting their child first, and they stole the 7 name.
We're both big Mickey Mantle fans, and we love the name. It's very unusual.
Parents have to be Seinfeld fans, don't they?
Yeah.
They have to be.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. 7.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You know my real name is Semicolon? Did you know that?
Yeah, totally Semi.
Probably told you that. A few minutes with Orion Samuelson in just a moment. First, I want to say a quick hi to Mark Doyle. Good morning, buddy.
Greetings.
Mark Doyle, who's involved in all sorts of clandestine products. He's kind of a combination between James Bond and Mr. Haney from Green Acres. We'll talk about his extra projects at another time.
Thanks for the shout out.
But I want to make sure you come in as soon as possible, if not later this week, next week, so we can do a full-blown Rags of Honor update. But tell people what Rags of Honor is.
Rags of Honor, the only custom silk screen and apparel company in the country devoted to hiring homeless veterans.
And if we want to order great shirts at great prices and be happy with it and do a good thing, what do we do?
Two ways to do it. If you want a custom shirt, one of our own custom designs, ragsofhonor.us, go to our store. If you're a local company who needs t-shirts, sweatshirts, long sleeves, short sleeves, ragsofhonor.us, or call us at 312-988-0095. Operators are standing by.
Hillary going to win today?
She is big.
Probably. You think it'll be big?
9 to 11 points.
Okay, well, that's fairly big.
Yeah.
And did you ever think you'd be in an election cycle where a 74-year-old Jewish socialist could visit the Vatican? It would barely be a news story.
Boy, everything you thought you knew about politics went out the window about 9 months ago.
Just amazing. All right, we'll have you on
here
for a longer
just
segment.
Hanging around.
Yeah, good.
Another 2 hours.
Yeah, we'll watch Orion. He'll show you how he does it. Orion Samuelson's here. Nice to see you, sir.
Hey, nice to be here with you. I try to get in once a week to make sure you're behaving, and you are.
Well, give us an update. What's the travel schedule? You running around doing speeches? What are you
doing that, heading for Washington, D.C. next week for 3 days of interviews with congressmen, senators, Secretary of Agriculture. And, of course, right now the ag industry in the United States looking forward to finally shipping to Cuba. Something they haven't done since the early 60s, but the relaxing of the issues that kept us apart for all that time still has to be resolved because Congress still has to finally cancel the embargo.
What are we sending them?
We're shipping them a little corn. We're shipping them a little rice because they can't use credit to buy. And so that really restricts their ability.
They grow their own beef?
Pardon?
They grow their own beef there?
Yeah, but they can import it from other countries. You see, this is a crazy thing.
That they have deals with.
Yeah. Crazy thing about the embargo. If you don't control the entire production of the commodity, embargoes don't work. They got their rice from
right.
Vietnam. They got their soybeans from Brazil. They got their wheat from Canada. And
sure, it's like locking the front door and leaving the windows open.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So they're working on that. We had a delegation of Cuban trade officials and government people coming to town today, as a matter of fact, to Washington. And they'll spend some time with growers and with exporters.
Well, we'd buy stuff from them too then, right? What would we buy from them? Cigars?
Cigars. That's probably the biggest.
Rum?
The biggest one, yeah, and rum. When I was down there.
What about fruit? They're big fruit, aren't they?
Not so much.
Oh, really?
No.
Their fruit is good and fresh, but.
We go to South America for grapes in the wintertime, for example. Chile provides most of our grapes. But I was there in 1999 when I was there. And went out to some tobacco farms, went out to a couple of dairy farms that were interesting because they were getting all of their genetics, Holstein genetics, from the United States, from U.S. breeders. And when I was there 16 years ago, dairy farmers were saying, we have to get some more of your updated genetics, and we can't get it.
They're very happy with the lifting of the sanctions, too. When we were there, when I was there last year, we were on a tobacco farm. And I think we talked about this. They're still only allowed to keep 10% of what they make.
Well, this is the great fallacy of communism and socialism, that everybody's equal and everybody shares in the wealth. The only people that get the wealth are those that know Fidel and his brother. Everybody else goes to grocery stores where there's not milk in the freezer, there's not bread on the shelf, and you hope for whatever you hope for, and you do whatever you do with what you have. And next door in Venezuela, not that far away, they can't find toilet paper. So how'd you like to live in that world?
When you go to the supermarket in Cuba, the Supermercado, which is about the size of a gas station convenience store,
nothing
I'm not exaggerating. If you go on a Monday, there'll be bottled water. Sometimes if you go on a Tuesday, there'll be ground meat or beef. Sometimes if you go on a Wednesday, they'll have fresh vegetables. It just depends on what day you go and what's available.
So the faster the embargo could be lifted and there could be direct trade, the better off the people of Cuba are going to be.
It was a very, very dumb move in 62 when the missile crisis, when the Russians were putting missiles into Cuba, and President Kennedy said, we will stop all trade until you get Fidel Castro out of there. Well, when I met Fidel Castro in 1999, at that point I thought, he ain't going to go anywhere for another 20 years.
And that was 37 years later. And the only reason he's not in power now is because he's physically not able to do it anymore.
Yeah, right, yeah. So,
what happens when Raul, I'd ask both of you because you've both been there, when Raul is not able to do it? I mean, is he your age or a little older?
I think he's probably a little younger, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
But physically, time does its damage.
And, of course it does.
Right, and it may do it to him as well sooner than later. So who's third in line?
I don't know.
Do you know, Andrew?
And I'm not sure the Cuban people know.
I don't. They have
is there a Skippy Castro waiting in the wings, like a goofball nephew that nobody talks about?
There's a deputy, and they do have a vice president, Jose
Kim Jong Castro?
No, I don't know. I don't know much about the vice president. But here's the thing. Raul is a little more, and I use this term very loosely, Raul is a little bit more lenient than Fidel was.
Right.
But again, I'm using that term very loosely.
Right,
so,
right. Well, that's a good development. All right, so we're going to trade with Cuba. Now, last week, the president of Ecuador was here.
Yes.
And you and he were talking about agriculture in Ecuador. Now they've had this terrible earthquake.
Right.
That puts everything on hold.
Yep.
Any damage to markets here because of that?
No, markets had little reaction to it because the area it occurred didn't have much of an impact on products that we would deal with. But, the Pacific Rim. Right now, Congress is on hold in approval of the Pacific Rim Trade Agreement, which involves 12 countries all the way around from Indonesia and Malaysia all the way down to Chile. And, of course, it includes us. It does not include Communist China, but that is a major agreement that Congress is really moving very slowly on. And even the President, Obama, wants this one, but I don't think he's going to get it before the before his term ends.
Yeah, before the election.
Yeah, because labor is against it. You know, and the thing I wonder often about labor being against trade agreements, because Bernie Sanders not only does not support trade agreements, he would cancel what we have, like NAFTA.
I just wonder what rich person hurt Bernie at some point. I want to just find out what rich person hurt Bernie and how did he hurt him? Because Bernie doesn't like people with money.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, they claim we lost jobs. Automobile manufacturers moved overseas. But look at all the auto manufacturers from the Orient that have come back to the U.S. and built plants here in the U.S.
I got to tell you, the one thing that people need to come to grips with, the world is an interconnected economy now.
It is.
And we're not
global.
And we are not putting the cap back on. There's no cap going back on that bottle.
You know what would happen if we stopped all farm exports from the United States? About 52% of farms and ranches now operating would have to shut down.
Of course they would.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you kill the revenue.
We can't consume everything we produce.
No, it's foolishness.
And we're planting it now. We finally got started this weekend.
Right. Oh, good. Yeah. So weather-wise, we haven't had a whole lot of rain, but the farmers are in good shape?
Pretty good shape to start the season. And with the equipment we have now where you can plant over 40 rows of corn in one move across the field.
Wow.
You get it planted pretty fast. But farmers get nervous this time of the year.
Sure.
Traders get nervous this time of the year. We always get it planted.
Yeah, but if you weren't stressing out, it wouldn't be spring.
That's right.
By the way, Raul is 84, Raul Castro. He calls you kid.
Yeah, I guess he would.
Yeah, just so you know.
And the foreign minister, the third in charge, would be Bruno Rodriguez.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Bruno Rodriguez.
Yeah, like a lot of
anybody
too.
Named Bruno is okay.
Yeah. Nice to see you. Safe travels.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, buddy. And Gloria's good?
Gloria is good. Golfed her best golf game in her life last week in Arizona.
Well, that's great. Do you remember what the number was?
110.
Nicely done, Gloria.
Best she had done before that was 126.
Did you tell her she's not getting close to your number, which was, what was it, 151 or something?
151 in Maui with Uncle Bobby decades ago.
Right. It's the only two golfers ever. There's like in a pro shop in Maui, they've got a picture of Collins and a picture of Orion with a slash through it. It's a circle and a slash through it.
Like
they've been banned.
Like a wanted.
It's only because I haven't golfed there.
You go, we don't care how much money you have. Don't come back.
Never again.
921 back after this on 720 WGN. David Hochberg's here. How's my son?
Your son is great. He's calling me dad now. It's kind of weird. He calls me Hochberg, and then he slipped out every once in a while. Dad, I got to ask you a question. I'm like, dude, that's a little weird.
Ross Cochran working at Pearl Mortgage. Things are great at Pearl?
Things are great. Yeah, we're rocking. He's doing a great job.
This is one of two visits by Mr. Hochberg this week. The one on Thursday is a surprise that I don't know about. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about something while we have a few minutes here, and that is earlier in the show I brought up if you take advantage of an old person, there's a special place in hell for you.
Because
senior citizens, regardless of the generation of senior citizens, tend to be trusting, tend to be people who believe what you're telling them, don't want to put up with your BS, but want you to give them a fair shake. They're not asking for nothing special. Mm-hmm. They just want a fair shake. So I think of older folks, and I think of reverse mortgages, which is something you do.
Yes.
And I would assume there's people in your industry that maybe aren't so straight up with seniors.
Well, straight up in a way, yes, and they tell them everything they need to know about reverse mortgages, but they have a propensity to jam them with like $8,000 to $20,000 in closing costs. And that's one of the biggest things whenever you ask anybody, oh, I hear they're expensive. Well, yeah, they're expensive. Depends upon who you go with, right? If you take out a reverse mortgage with me or anybody on my team and you take out at least $100,000, we make enough money to cover the $6,000 to $9,000 in closing costs. We just quoted a lady. It was a $300,000 loan up in Northbrook. It was right on the corner from where I lived. And the closing cost was like $16,000. And we were paying off a $230,000 mortgage. And she got quotes from other reverse mortgage
people. Who wanted to hit her with the full number?
It was $16,000 to $18,000 in closing costs. I mean, these people are coming to you because they need to what? Eliminate a debt.
Right, and you're going to throw another 18.
We're going to throw another 18 bills on top of that. And I'm spitting, and I'm all fired up. I'm already 14 seconds into this, and I'm already spitting. I got to wipe my face here.
Yeah, go ahead. I get your towel.
It's 16, 18 grand. I mean, what kind of sick bastard does that?
Well, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous what you're talking about.
It's disgusting.
Specifically.
Right.
So closing costs, without getting too deep in the weeds here,
yeah.
Closing costs for the lender covers what?
Closing costs for the lender covers
administrative fees,
the appraisal, the processing fees, all the underwriting fees, ABC through Z, all the fees.
Okay? I don't want to get you in trouble at industry meetings.
They all hate me anyway.
When
so I don't care.
Somebody is jamming you with closing costs, how much profit are they throwing on what actual closing costs are?
Probably another $6,000 to $10,000. Okay,
it's ridiculous.
I talked to a guy. Lake Forest, it's in one of my commercials that you're going to hear running. Somebody quoted him, a gigantic bank quoted him over $9,500 in closing costs. He lived in a $650,000 home in Lake Forest. All right, $9,500 in closing costs. I'm like, Hal, here's the deal. You take out at least $100,000, I'll cover all your closing costs. He's like, well, I'm going to go back to my bank. He goes back to the bank. They're like, oh, yeah, you know what? We'll shave off $4,000 of that. And they still wanted to charge him over $5,000.
No, that's ridiculous.
I mean, it's sick. You talk about a special place in hell, right? Guess what? It should be right near the equator, okay? You should be right on top of the sun, and you should fry.
Right. Yeah, no, you do that. I don't know how you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning.
It's disgusting.
All right, so if people call you, now I know Andre's done this,
yeah,
and I know 1,000 people here at the radio
station
have done
it. Right. A couple other people.
John DeCoste did it. Somehow you actually helped him.
Adam Hogue.
So people call you. Take me through just the basics of the process. I call you and I say, I'm thinking about, what, a refi?
Okay, how much money do you want on your house?
Okay.
Do you have one loan or two loans? A lot of people think a second mortgage isn't a loan. Well, second mortgage is a mortgage, so we have to count that.
Okay.
So how much money do you have on your first loan, your second loan?
So step one is bring the basic paperwork, and it could be just monthly statements, right?
Right. A monthly statement is all that we need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we typically ask to please send us a copy of your most recent statement if you only have one loan. So that way we can look to see what the tax and the insurance
are. All right. So then do I come in for a sit-down?
No. Everything's over the phone. If you want to come in for a sit-down, we could come in for a sit-down. Okay. It's not a problem. We've got.
So if people like face-to-face, great. If they don't, phone calls, fine.
I've got two people right down. I got two of my top guys right where Ross is stationed on Grand. I've got a couple of guys out. I got a guy in Schaumburg. I got a guy in Oak Brook. I got a guy in Naperville.
I got guys all over the place.
I got nine guys part of my team.
Yeah. All right. So then how long in general, and I know it's hard to put a cap on this stuff, but how long in general does it take to process paperwork? Because people go, paperwork makes my head spin.
Well, sure. It depends on how organized. Most people, if you get it back to us within 48 hours, we could have you in a new loan within 30 days. If you're like, if you want to fight us, why do I need page 5 of 6? If page 5 is blank, you know, it's going to take a little longer. Because if it says 1 of 6, the banks want to see to make sure that there's nothing on page 5.
Right.
So if you don't get us back, I got a guy right now who's busting my chops. Well, my wife doesn't want to sign this form. And all the form says is that he has access to the money in their joint account, and she's not on the loan because her credit report is 80 points less because the genius decided to blow off a Gap credit card in January and destroyed her credit that we just spent the previous 8 months fixing. Okay, so I'm like, well, if your wife didn't blow off the Gap payment in January, I wouldn't need her to sign the flipping letter. But it wasn't me that blew off the Gap payment that destroyed her credit.
Do you think you need a lower stress job?
It's like, what part of don't miss any payments don't you understand?
Well, the rest of it is details matter.
If they don't
matter to me, and they don't matter to Dave, and they don't matter to Andrea, it doesn't matter. They matter in your business.
Yes.
Everything has to be signed. All the boxes have to be checked.
Yes.
All the questions have to be answered.
Ross is finding that out very, very in detail.
Details matter,
right.
And you have to go through the details. This is the bottom line. I tell people this all the time. Yes, Hochberg's a mental patient. I think that's clear.
I was locked up when I was 7 at Children's Memorial Hospital. I went through a lot of therapy in 5th grade.
You know, the mic is on.
Yeah, it's okay. And they shut the facility down.
They've shut down a lot of places.
I know, exactly.
But Hochberg, I'm telling you, if you got debt, you got debt issues, you got mortgage issues, you got student loan advice you need.
Yeah.
You got financial stuff going on. If you talk to Hochberg, he's going to help you figure it out because, you know, there's a lot of things you're not good at, but this you're really good at.
Well, you know, bathing suit modeling is a challenge. I'm working on that. Thanks for bringing that up at this time.
That's what friends are for. Yeah.
But also, here's the thing. We're going to do what's in the caller's best interest.
Yeah.
We're going to do, there's a lot of people that will jam you and shoehorn you into a loan if
right.
it's in there just to make an extra couple of bucks.
Right.
I just talked to a lady across the street at the corner bakery when I was having a coffee waiting to come over here, you know. She's married to a vet. He's 90% disabled. He came back from Afghanistan with PTSD. He's got one in the oven. She's got two on the ground, one in the oven. She got her pregnant, and they want to move. I said, okay. She's like, I got a 4.5%, 5% loan. I'm like, listen,
take out
a line of credit, okay? Just take out a line of credit. You're moving in 2 years. Take out a line. I hooked her up with my ladies at First Midwest Bank. They're going to take out a line of credit. We're going to pay off her debt, her student loans. We're going to put her in a position to fix up the house so he can get around the house. And it's going to save her about $300 a month. I'm not doing the loan. I'm not making any money off of it. It was a bright thing for her to do. I sent an email, and away it went.
Yeah, and here's the rest of it is, if you are a military family member or love somebody that is, Hochberg will break his back to help you out.
Yes.
Because that's how much that means to him.
And I'm hiring. If you are a light, if we got to take a break, or you want me to leave?
No, I'm kicking you on a second.
Okay. If you're a veteran, a military veteran that is a licensed loan officer and has an MLS number, and you know VA loans, I'm looking to hire a veteran that is a mortgage loan originator with an MLS number to be part of my team.
You'll train them up on all that?
Well, yeah, I'll train them up on my systems. You know, they'll already be trained in originating loans, but you have to know how to do VA loans because I want to send my veterans that call in for loans to talk with a veteran. I've got guys that do VA loans, but there's
you want somebody that's walk the walk.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So if you're out there and know somebody out there, please call me. 312-751-1333. There is a job opening right now.
All right, so we'll pick up this again on Thursday.
Thursday.
The surprise thing that I don't know that's happening.
Exactly.
Just out of the big story, that's David Hochberg. Number again is what?
312-751-1333. Go to WGNDavid.com, and I'll see you on Thursday on the thing you don't know about.
Yeah, the blood pressure pill should be in by then.
Olchek got to it. Olchek busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olchek! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fuhr on the sixth side.
The legend, Eddie O standing by. I wonder who he wants to talk to. It's not you, Dave.
Why? Eddie and I get along.
It's not me.
You and Eddie get along.
It's Andrea. Andrea, say hi to Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
Hey, AD, how are you?
How you doing, lady? My friend? Miss you.
Hi, David.
Hi, Eddie.
Hey, Steve, good morning. Who canceled on you that you had to drag me out of playing with the dogs today to jump on your show?
Listen, we need expert.
I want to know. Just be honest. Just tell everybody that somebody canceled and you needed...
We need an expert.
I don't want to say the best long reliever in Chicago sports, because we know Scott Darling is that guy, considering what he
That's
did.
That's very true. Very true. We need an expert analysis, and you are the A team. All right, so we're down 2-1. We're used to being down 2-0. This could be 3-0 Hawks. This could be 3-0 Blues. This could be any combination you like. This is as close as it gets. What's your gut on tonight?
You know what? I don't know if I have a gut feeling for the game just yet. You're right, though. The series could really be any possible combination. You know, I thought the Hawks really did not give the Blues a whole heck of a lot in Game 1. I thought the Blues played safe in Game 1, and I don't think that you can have success against a team like the Blackhawks by playing safe. You know, I get the question a lot, you know, how did the Minnesota Wild have so much success against the Blackhawks by winning all five games in a regular season? And to me, just watching all of those games in person from the chair that I sit in, is that there wasn't much respect shown, and they were really active, and they didn't play safe, and they took some chances. And, you know, look, we understand this is a much different team that the Blackhawks. This is a much different team than they've had in the past. And Joel has touched on it a lot this year. I mean, you know, you talk to him every week, Steve, and, you know, they just haven't had the puck as much as they've had in the past. And when you don't have it as much, you're doing what? You're defending.
Right.
And it puts a lot of stress on your team and your defensive core and all that. So, look, I thought this series was going seven. There are a lot of people in this town that thought the series would be over in three games, but you have to win four, so I don't know how the math really fits there. But St. Louis is a much different team, too. I mean, they're much deeper. Their general manager, Doug Armstrong, did a tremendous job of understanding that they needed to get a little deeper offensively. They've gotten a little quicker, and some of their young players have emerged. And their goaltender, both goalies have played great. I mean, Corey Crawford has been sensational, and Brian Elliott has been every bit of just that. So I'm not surprised to see where we are in the series and how close the games are, because I thought it was going seven games to begin with.
How important, Eddie, is it for the Blackhawks to get their top players really going and get them on the stat sheet, aside from, I know Taves has a few assists, Kane does too, but some goals?
Well, the success that they've had, David, and you know this better than anybody in any sport, is that, you know, your best players have to be just that. And when the Hawks have had great success, and you can't have much greater success than this franchise has had, is winning three championships in 6 years. But the big guys got to find a way to be those guys. And that's why they get the big bucks. And look, they've had some chances. The Taves line has had some looks. Patrick Kane has had some looks. But you got to find a way to finish. And when you get a goaltender in a zone, and, you know, there are other good goaltenders in the National Hockey League other than Corey Crawford, is you got to do different things. You know, you got to hold on to the puck a second longer. You got to get the, you know, try to break the momentum of that goaltender. I think the baseball analogy, David, would be is, you know, when a pitcher is in a rhythm, they want to get it, a la John Lackey last night, right? He gets it, he wants to throw it. So as a batter or as a shooter, is you got to try to break that momentum. There's only a couple of ways you can do that, but in a game of hockey, you know, you can cause some havoc in front of the net. You can hold on to the puck a second longer when you're in that shooting position. So all those type of things come into play, and I'm sure that the Blackhawks are going over that, you know, daily. But for me, without question, their big guys got to find a way to put the puck in the back of the net. And I think, you know, I don't want to say the balloon will pop, but I think that it might take some of the pressure off some of the other guys. But for them, it's been a close series. And look, somebody cashes in on a chance here or there, it's 3-0 one way, or, you know, it could easily be 3-0 the other way, like Steve said a couple of minutes ago.
You know, here's what we know. We were talking to Martin Kilcoyne from Fox in St. Louis about this. Being on the power play and not scoring has advantages if you can continually put pucks on the net, punish the goalie, tired out the goalie, tired out their team, all of that. We know speed kills. We know the Hawks have a speed advantage. What are they doing to shut down their speed advantage?
Well, like I said, after game one, Steve, they're for the most part, to me, they're not playing as safe as they did in game one. So they're pressuring up the ice. They take away the middle of the ice. So you're taking away that speed opportunity. Look, the Hawks have had some odd man situations, and I mean they've created some chances when St. Louis has gotten a little aggressive.
Yeah, just Elliott's been great.
Yeah, yes, but look, St. Louis is not a. You know they're not a dump and chase team. Like they've got some guys that can make some plays, and they have the puck quite a bit as well. So that offsets the speed factor of the Blackhawks. But to me, it's all in the middle of the ice. When the Blackhawks are able to move through the middle of the ice with their speed, that's the speed zone, right? The area between the two blue lines is that if they can find a way to maneuver their way through that, they're going to create and generate opportunities. And look, when the Blues don't have any pressure, what do they have? They have five guys back. They're in a prevent defense. They're going to say, look, you're not going to be able to – well, Patrick Kane probably could stick handle through three and four guys, but I don't like my chances with anybody else on the roster.
True.
So they're saying, look, you may beat one, you may beat two, but you're not going to beat three and four by skating in. We're going to force you to do something maybe you don't want to do, and that's dump the puck in. So for me, it's after game one, I think that St. Louis has adjusted, and now it's up to the Blackhawks adjusting and trying to figure out how to get their speed game back in. But I think there had been times where they've dictated the terms and the pace and have had their way, but they just haven't been able to solve Brian Elliott. And when you don't do that, that's an opportunity for the momentum to stop, because I'm a big believer, and especially with the way the rules are now, is that there are momentum surges like we've never seen in playoff hockey. Is when you have the momentum, the question is what do you do with it when you have it? And if you don't have it, most people think, well, you know, how do you get it back? Well, the first question is you have to stop it. How do you stop that surge that's coming against you? And then you can worry about getting that momentum on your side. And we've seen that a couple of times in the series, which obviously two well-coached teams, a lot of skill on both sides, and that's why you see these momentum surges. How about the second periods of the last two games?
Oh, crazy.
69 shots on goal.
Just nuts.
Between the two teams in those two periods.
Lesser goalies would have quit. I'm out of here.
You know, I made it. Look, we've had this. You know, this conversation, some people around the National Hockey League are saying that, well, we need more scoring, and, look, we all love touchdowns and home runs, and, okay, I understand that. But, they're talking about, well, let's make the nets bigger. Okay, yeah, let's put soccer nets in at the United Center, see how many goals we get, right? But I'm serious on this. People have suggested, let's make the
ridiculous.
Nets bigger.
No,
let's do two things. One, let's make sure the goaltenders' jerseys and pants are three and four sizes too big, where they take up an extra, 15 to 20% of the net.
Okay, right.
That's the first thing that I would do before I would ever think about making the nets bigger. And two, and I've suggested this for a couple of years now, is that why don't we make the second period, the long change, why don't we do that twice in a game? Why don't we make that period the first and third period?
Oh, I like
and
that.
The reason for that is because your defensive zone is the farthest away from your bench, harder to change, leads to more offensive opportunities. Doesn't mean you're going to score, but look about those two periods. Like, to me, that would be the selling point.
I like that.
To do a PowerPoint presentation and say, look, this is what we have the opportunity to have. Doesn't mean you're going to score goals because the goaltenders are great.
No, it's all about opportunity.
The chances there are because of the hard change it is, and I really think that would be a great change in our game to create more offensive opportunities.
Listen, not just a pretty face. He's Eddie Olczyk. All right, Andre wants to invite you back for a derby talk, right?
Yeah, I want to ask him about that. Well, there was some big derby news yesterday. Cupid is not going to run because of the entrapped epiglottis. But more spirit.
Okay, but I don't want
more spirit.
I think you ruptured that on Valentine's.
Yes,
but I don't want you to give that stuff up yet.
Sorry.
Because we're going to be out of time. I want you to have time to talk to Eddie about this. So will you two work something out?
AD, you know what? You can call me anytime, and we can talk Derby. You know, we can talk the Oaks. We can talk the Derby because the Derby is only it's only like 17 days away.
Right, 2 weeks away. So I know, and I have to ask him about more spirit, too.
I know. All right. Well, you guys work out when he's coming back to talk derby.
Okay.
Eddie, I love you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
See you.
Thanks.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago-pedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Fresh Wave sponsors Hawkopedia. Fresh Wave. If it stinks, they'll fix it. Dave, what do you have for us?
Very simple. Our goal today is to make you feel a little better about the Blackhawks' current predicament. Yeah, they lost Sunday. Yeah, they're down 2-1 of the series. But you've probably heard the Blackhawks often thrive in these situations. Since 2009, when the Blackhawks returned to the playoffs, this is the 11th time they have trailed 2-1 of the series. In the previous 10, they have gone on to win 7 of those 10 series.
That's good.
Sorry. When they have trailed 2-1 in this era, they are 6-4 in Game 4, but 4-2 at home, and they won their last series tying Game 4s, their last three series tying Game 4s at the United Center. You know the numbers on the Blackhawks' record under Joel Quenneville from Game 4 of a playoff series on, 43-14. But if you break down the last three seasons, it's even better. The last 3 years, Hawks are 26-6 from Game 4 on. That includes a 15-1 mark at the United Center. That one loss, anybody? A fluky goal in overtime in Game 7 against the Kings.
The Kings cheated. They're dirty cheaters.
Of course, the Blues are well aware of these numbers as well. They were on the receiving end in 2014 when they lost to the Hawks.
So what's your prediction for tonight?
I say the Blackhawks win and tie the series, but it's going to be a one-goal game. It's going to be a one-goal game.
Bill O'Wendy, you agree with that?
Yep.
Possibly quadruple overtime that will end around the time you go on the air tomorrow morning.
Be great. I mean, it'd be great if they were still playing at 4:30.
No, not for them. It would not be.
Well, it'd be good for me. So you guys got a prediction on tonight? You want to save it for your own show? Rags of Honor want you to have any of these Blackhawks shirts. Did you guys see this? Look how cool this is.
That's a nice
because you guys are
shirt.
Rags of Honor fans.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Duty, Honor, Hockey. They're available in the Blackhawks stores today. Any Blackhawks store, Chicago-made t-shirts made by homeless vets, getting them back on their feet. Beautiful new shirts, 3 new shirt designs, including the dog tag shirt, which you love.
I love the dog tag one. I'm getting it for my cousin.
You got to buy it in the store. We'll put the pictures up at WGNradio.com. I like Duty Honor Hockey. That is cool.
They're all great.
Really cool. Yeah. All right, we're super late. See you tomorrow.